end up drinking his coffee about now.
He could be in here on EchoLink.
EchoLink app set up. I know I mentioned it to him. I think he said something about his password, but that might have been APRS.
No, I think it is EchoLink that he forgot his password and can't get back in.
Yeah, too, and it takes a while to get your password back.
Drive to get it done, you know. You don't use EchoLink that often. When you do, I'm sure that's when you realize you don't remember your password.
Of course, the head is why I was up there. Miss Carol.
Take something.
Of course, we got this last weekend and it knocked my power off. I'm not used to that.
Big storms up there. We had some rain, but no big storms.
Went through, man, it was just popping off some lightning like crazy. And eventually blinked the power. I'm about to get off of my exit, so I'm going to go ahead and say 7-3. Y'all be safe out there today, and hopefully we'll holler at you tomorrow morning. KO4 is TF, and I'm going to be clear on y'all's final.
Andrew, hope you have a great day. KO4 HK.
Have a good one. W2JKT.
Gentlemen, KO4 UF.
Jody, KO4HKX.
42JKT.
Eric, Mr. Eric, good morning to y'all boys.
Get into this weekend.
Got a little bit of this, just trying to finish up a week's vacation, Roger.
That, I hope you enjoyed it. Did you go somewhere or did you just stay around the house?
A little bit of both. We stayed around the house, but it felt like we were always on the move this week.
Down to Shelby this weekend?
Friday, Friday. And walked around for a couple hours. I heard y'all were down in there, I guess. I never even thought about looking to see if y'all were there.
Walked through Friday, I don't know, around noon or something like that. And not everybody had gotten there yet, but I walked through again on Saturday. And, you know, just didn't really find anything I wanted. So, you know, didn't spend too much time there.
Friday, but I left before lunchtime. And then Saturday, we were there again, and we left, I don't know, about 10:30, 11 o'clock Saturday.
Friday, probably around 10 o'clock, 10:30, I guess, and we're done by lunch.
Yeah, boat anchors I want to look at, you know?
You got that right.
There's only so much of that, and then, I don't know, it's just lots of... stuff that I wouldn't even consider being part of ham radio.
Yeah, you know, you could, you know, rent that little overflow area they use for the campers and stuff and just, you know, park a whole bunch of dumpsters back there and probably just heave 80% of the ham fest into the dumpsters. You'd be doing the world a favor.
Right. 706 Mark II's there. You know, they wasn't even a Mark IIG, and one guy wanted like 600 or 700 for one, and the other one was like 900, and I'm like, really?
Now we're talking about this, one guy had a TS480HX, which is like the 200-watt model, which is, you know, worth something, but this guy, his first price he threw out at me was like $750. And then I'm like, what, are you kidding me? He's like, okay, how about 650? I'm like, how about 400? I didn't say that to him, but that's about what that radio's worth.
Yep, that's been a nice rig, but man, yeah, their prices were just outrageous this year.
I'd have to agree. Well, gentlemen, I have arrived at the gate, and I'm going to jump out of here and get the truck fired up, and I'll be back in a few minutes. KO4HKX.
It's you, JKT.
See you in a bit, Patrick. KO4MUF.
Yeah, Patrick, not Andrew. Sorry. That's pretty disappointed, man. I remember, you know, the last few years before the pandemic were really, really good. And, in fact, there was one guy I was hoping that was there again this year that sold a lot of that surplus military fiberglass push-up mat stuff. But he wasn't there. And just in general, it was just a bunch of junk that wasn't, you know, really worth anything. And people wanted way too much money for it all. Like, you know, just... I saw a couple of boat anchors. I got like, all this collector's items, like $800. It's like all rusted out, doesn't work, and there's nothing in it, you know?
Exactly. And we're, you know, for Friday, I thought they would have been more there, too. So, like you, we're disappointed in the amount of folks that were there on Friday.
Holiday weekend has something to do with it. I think, you know, ever since the pandemic, I think people take their holiday weekends a little bit more seriously, and, you know, scheduling it on a holiday weekend when people have other things to do, you know, not everybody is a retiree with nothing to do on a holiday weekend. You know, a lot more people are busy, so, I mean, I only went because I live in Shelby now, and I had time to go over, maybe spend an hour each day walking around, but, I mean, I didn't have any more time than that. And, you know, I live there, so I definitely wasn't going to drive a couple of hours to do that.
Well, Dick, we went through the mountains coming up there, and, you know, it took a little longer for us to get there, probably an hour and 45 minutes, and it was very disappointing, you know, because we figured there would have been more vendors there, should you say, because we had something we had to do on Saturday, so... It was like, man, you know, I told the wife, I said, man, you know, I told Ned, I said, this place is dead.
Pretty awful. I mean, nobody had gotten there yet, but then again, it's Friday, you know, and a lot of people are working, and a lot of people can't really just get there. You know, you have to really get there Thursday night, camp out and stuff, and, you know, a lot of people just can't do that anymore because of the crazy demands of working since the pandemic is over.
Very true, you know, and so we didn't, like I said, we have something to do this year on Saturday, so we didn't go, but we usually go on Saturday because it seemed to have a little bit more people there, should you say.
Yeah, by Sunday at like 10 a.m., everybody's packed up and gone.
You know, so I guess, you know, the best thing you can do is probably get there around 8:30, 9 o'clock Saturday morning and be done by noon and... You know, see what,
because
everybody should be laid out by then.
I'm going to park my camper over there because I do have a bunch of radios I want to sell. And judging from this year, if I show up with, you know, half a dozen decent HF radios and reasonably price them, I'll probably just walk away with a whole bunch of cash on the first day.
You can do it on Friday or Saturday, you know, I think that Saturday's going to be your best day, right?
I can go park my camper over there anytime during the week because you can show up as early as Monday because they've got the fairgrounds rented out for the whole week. And, you know, I could probably even sell them before the Ham Fest even starts. You know, some other vendor will come over and buy them thinking they can flip them. Since I've gone, the only people I've sold radios to were other people who were there selling stuff. And, those, you know, both of those guys flipped what I had. So, you know, I sold them real quick and got my money and I was done.
Nice. Get them out of there and then you're done with it.
Same, because I've got, you know, I've got a whole collection of these radios that I don't really use them anymore. And, you know, they had some kind of cool sentimental value to me at some point. But, you know, now it's like, you know, we're looking on, you know, downsizing house and getting life simplified. And, you know, I don't need 8 HF radios. I could probably just keep a couple of them and get rid of the rest of them.
Exactly right. Like I said, just want to wait and see what we got. So right now it's a coin flip in the air.
Yesterday, and my boss was on vacation all last week, so I was covering for him, so we'll see. Got a debrief meeting with him this morning, and let him know what everything that happened last week, and then I know what I've got on my plate this week, so I'm just hoping to, you know, get through it before Friday.
I'm like you, we'll see what we get into. This week is an 8-hour day week because of the holiday yesterday, so, you know, we'll see what they get into.
Do you do a whole lot with digital stuff?
I just don't sit on a machine. I do a lot of physical stuff, too.
I have messed around with JS8 Call and a couple of other things. So I've been thinking about, you know, with JS8 Call, you can leave messages and stuff for folks. And I've never really tried that functionality before. So I was thinking we can all pick one of the stations that we can all get to and try some message forwarding or something.
That might be neat, you know. That'd be cool.
Hey, it's Jake. I'm back, Dylan.
Hey, I'm coming up on the black hole at Woodruff Road. WTJKT back in a couple minutes.
Welcome back, Patrick.
The try.
Is there something like that? The messaging board?
JS8 Call.
doing more with it. I think it is a good mode of operation to pass, messages.
A phone or a laptop or, a computer or your phone?
No, a computer. Okay. Except for JSA call uses weak signal propagation like FD8, so you can be heard even when you just got a very weak signal, and you can still get a message out. So.
I'm out of it, W2JKT.
Good morning again.
Get something through that intersection that just blows this repeater out of the water for about 3/4 of a mile.
Patrick's back in here, too.
Okay, say you wanted to do some JSA call?
It has some functionality where you can, it does like store and forwarding of messages and stuff, so I thought I'd want to play with that, but we'd all have to find a, one of the JSA call stations that we can all get to.
But we could probably all communicate directly, in all honesty. I like JSA call, just never had anybody to spend a lot of time trying to talk to me and Andrew about it, and we can communicate no problem. So you and I probably could, and Andrew might be the relay station if we can, because he's kind of in between.
The fun thing is that with the relay functionality, we don't all have to be able to make the time at the same time. We can do it asynchronously.
That's one of the reasons I got the extra radios, is so I could leave it running in the background all the time.
Nobody has ever used my station to send or store a message or anything yet, at least not that I know of. I don't really know how to check, but it seems like it's a cool functionality. It reminds me back of like the interconnected networks back in the days of BBSs, where like you'd store a message and then like your BBS would call another BBS to send that message over there and so on and so forth. So it was kind of neat.
They were talking about that at the Thermal Belt Club meeting. They put a BBS message board system up on the Thermal Belt repeater there so the club could use it. But like I said, I like JSA call because you're not relying on any infrastructure other than your radio and computer being up.
Belt repeater.
In Columbus, Tron area, close to the White Oak, the 285.
Here. Yeah, Friday. Well, I'm sorry, Patrick. I'm just sitting here listening, trying to learn something.
Anything with the Meshtastic stuff? Have you looked into it?
That's all on 2.4 or 5.8, right?
4:30 or 9:15.
Band stuff.
Yeah, the 4:30 is in the middle of the amateur band.
Well, I haven't messed with it too much. I know that there was another mesh thing back in the day that wanted to use 2.4 gig ham, like a couple of channels of Wi-Fi that were in the ham band, because with a license you can transmit with more power as long as you don't use encryption or anything like that. But I haven't really messed with it lately.
About your thoughts on it. Everybody's wanting to use it as a backup means of communication, and I just don't see it. I don't think that it's there. Yeah, for like if you had the property or in like at work where you wanted to put it in there in the building, I think it would be okay for something like that. But trying to set up a long range, I don't think it's viable.
More about it. There are definitely things you can do for long range. I know LoRa modems are pretty popular for long range stuff because they use modulations that are very good with multipath and weak signal stuff, proprietary things. But I don't know. I have to look at it a little bit more.
That's like I said. That's just my take on it so far.
To transmit under your ham radio license, or is the intent to transmit under the ISM rules?
ISM rules, that's what most people are getting, a 915, where it's open to anybody that doesn't have a ham radio license. And they're using the LARA boards. So, you know, they're trying to get long range out of that. And, you know, they're good for about a mile to 2 miles of gas station. So you got to build a network of them. And I'm just like, this is unfeasible.
The modern take on advanced metering, you know, when I was at Itron, you know, they built a mesh network out of their electricity meters. But of course, you know, you were neighbor to neighbor for most, so you were at the most a few hundred feet. But that worked really well, and their mesh would go like a few layers deep. And so you could have relay to relay to relay to relay to finally get to a node station. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely workable. You just have to have a lot of participants, and I just don't see that happening.
Come on, Jody. I don't mean to hog the repeaters.
No, gentlemen, I was enjoying the conversation listening to that, but I'm about to pull into my destination anyway, so y'all enjoy your talk, and I'll catch y'all out here probably again tomorrow morning, KF4MUF, and I'll be clear on your finals.
Hey, I missed you this weekend, but have a great day, KO4HK.
Great day, be safe. This is WTUJKT.
Kind of my take on the mesh tactic is it's too reliant on other people to put up their station and maintain it.
ISM, I mean, if you got something you could put in Walmart for like $19, you know, or put it on Amazon for $19, and, you know, you didn't have to put it on the roof or get an antenna up high, if it's something somebody could just like blindly plug into a socket somewhere and have it work, then that would be workable. But unless you make it that easy, I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
A lot of people out there want to play with it, but like I said, it's tough making, you know, across town communication, even that, with it, because you got to find somewhere to put the nodes in between, and then you got to go back and maintain the batteries unless you put solar stations up, you know, and then you got to program them all, and so it's just, I just don't see it. I think it's something neat to play with, but I just don't see it as a solution for anything.
If it was like, if it were not a mesh, right? If it were somebody puts up like a repeater in town or a big node station with a big high antenna, they can hear everybody and talk to everybody. You know, if it were a star network like that, it might have a little bit more chance. But, you know, this dream of having like this ubiquitous mesh is just like, I mean, cell phones don't even work that way, right? And everybody has a cell phone. So, you know, that kind of tells you something.
Like I said, I think it's got some neat uses. Like you can hook it to the Arduino system, and you can remote control gates from different sections or monitor different things that are happening on your property and that kind of stuff. I think it's got some neat applications, but I just don't think that's one of them.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm losing the repeater now. I'm having a hard time hearing you, so I'll just go ahead and say 73 and sign with you. I hope you have a great day, Patrick, and we'll maybe chat you with you on the way home this afternoon. W2JKT 73.
Hey, good to talk to you this morning. Have a great day. KO4HK.